where we're looking in Hebrews, and having gone through chapter 10, begin reading here in verse 11, in chapter 11, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 11, I want to start reading there in 10:39, because this is a continuation of the thought. And verse 39 of chapter 10 says, "But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we're going to stop right there and go back and look at the beginning verses of this chapter. And you know, as we've been going through chapter 10 for several weeks, and looking at the basis, the foundation of our faith, and we keep coming back to it over and over again, because there is but one foundation that is laid, and it's a foundation that's not laid by men, but it's laid by God. But by His grace, He calls the people out of this earth to see and understand that and to cleave to it. And that's what he says there at the end of chapter 10 as he describes the people of God, that even though all of these things may be said against them, those who belong to the Lord, according to what the Scripture says, are of a peculiar nature. That is, they are different in their mind insofar as the way of the world. Now, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily oddballs in the world, although a lot of times they wind up being that way. But when it says they're a peculiar people, it means that they have a mindset and a substance in their thought process that sets them apart from the rest of the world. Now, religion is not that different from one religion to the next. All religions basically are doing the same thing. They're trying to make people better people, right? I mean, wouldn't you say that would be, if you asked the average person what the purpose of religion would be, it would be so that people would have a foundation to stand on and they would be strong and they would be helpers of one another and they would be encouraged in morality and to do good things in their communities. I mean, the politicians and the leaders of our nation always talk about doing, you know, the community of faith and all of that kind of stuff. And that, you know, you see billboards up sometimes says, go to the church of your choice and all of these things. And that's a thing that's just a natural, common thing that men share. Now, we know there are some oddities in the world, people that, you know, have a aversion to religion, and they want to make their voices known and say that we don't have the right to force our religious beliefs on them, and they get all upset about whether or not people pray in public meetings and put up the Ten Commandments somewhere and all of that sort of stuff. But all of that being said, the vast majority of people fall into the category of just going along considering that all of that is really a good thing. And I'm not here this morning to try to overturn any of that. But I'm here to make a distinction between all of that and what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. Because there is a difference in being caught up in religion and in all of that that's well and good. And, you know, who can speak out against somebody that wants to do good and make people in this community better? Who could say anything against that? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to be found doing that. But I would want to be found standing with a clear voice, lest any man should think that is the basis upon which his hope is built. That is a false foundation. It is a bad place to be standing. It is no foundation at all. And Paul speaks about that. And he says this is what it boils down to. And that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if a man turn from that, or he counts that to be a light thing, then he tramples underfoot the Son of God, and he has nothing upon which to rely upon. So if we cast off that which we have professed to believe in Christ, as Christ is the sum and substance of all that we believe and hold dear, if we cast that off, then we don't have anything left. And then he says this in verse 39, but we are not of them that draw back. We don't draw back because we're a peculiar mind. We're too dumb to do anything else. We're not of them that draw back. We're not smart enough to draw back. We're not brave enough to draw back. We're not wise enough to draw back. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, how is it that a man is brought to such a place as that? He certainly didn't figure it out on his own. Because a man can't cause himself to believe anything. You can't make yourself believe anything. You can believe anything you want to, but you can't believe when you want to. You can say you believe it, but you see, he's fixing to tell us what faith is. Now, we are those that believe, he said, which believing and faith is the same thing. He said, we're not of them that draw back. Now he says here in verse 1, chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a glorious passage of Scripture right there. If you ever get to wondering what it is that faith is, here it is. It's defined. It's set forth very clearly. Now the word, the Greek word that is translated faith is the word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S in English. I won't try to, but that's how we would pronounce it. Maybe that might not be exactly correct, but it's fairly close. And the word literally means that which is a persuasion. Faith is a persuasion. This word appears 244 times in the New Testament. It means that which we are persuaded of. A conviction. Now, how does a man get such a thing? Does he just determine it in his mind? But rather, he's persuaded. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor anything else can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What does it mean? He says, I have faith. I'm persuaded. Now, when a man's persuaded about, when a man is persuaded in this fashion, this is not a mixture. But that is the thing of which he is convinced. Now, faith, the persuasion that we have, is the substance. Now, the substance is the foundation. So, the persuasion that we have is the foundation of things hoped for. Now, if you hope for something, what do you expect it? Now, sometimes people, we kind of use the word in English, not in a scriptural sense. We might say, well, I sure hope something happens. I sure hope that happens. And it's kind of like an open-ended thing. We don't know if it happened or not, but we would like for it to. Well, that's not at all what the Scripture means when it speaks about hope. Hope is an expectation. Now, when the Lord came to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he confronted Mary, and she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And the Lord said, Lazarus is not dead. He said, Lazarus is going to rise from the grave. She said, oh, I know he's going to rise from the grave and the resurrection. Now, you see, she hoped, had a hope in a resurrection, did she not? But she didn't have a hope that Lazarus was going to be raised that very day. And she would see him again in flesh and blood before her eyes. She didn't have that, did she? But she did have an expectation. But you see, she didn't have the expectation of that which the Lord would provide that very day. And so it is that which a man hopes for is that which he expects. And that is, as he says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for, those things that we expect. Now, how does a man get an expectation except that the Lord gives it to him? You can't expect that something will happen. I mean, we expect that the things that this book says are true. We expect that everything that is covered in the pages of this book will occur. Do we not? If we don't, then we don't believe it. I mean, we expect it to be so. Now, some people just look at it as like, well, you know, it may be or it may not. I sure hope it's correct. Well, dear brethren, that's not faith. You see, that's just wishful thinking. But a lot of people approach about, well, you know, I've been hearing it all my life, and maybe it'll be right. I sure hope so. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. It's the things hoped for, the things we expect. You see, we believe. Why do we believe the Bible? If somebody comes to you and they say, prove to me the Bible's true, what are you going to do? Can you prove that it's true? Can I prove that it's true? Can I prove one thing that I say to you right now is true? No. There's no way to do that in human terms. But you see, this is not, we're not talking about human reason here. We're talking about a supernatural work that God performs in a man to give him grace to believe that these things are true. And if he believes these things are true, what can cause him not to believe it? You see, if you get persuaded that the Bible's the book is the Word of God because you read a book somewhere and some scholarly guy that was a good expositor of things proved to you that the Bible's true, and then one day you live your life thinking the Bible's true because of what he said, then one day somebody comes along that's smarter than he was, and they convince you that, well, maybe the Bible isn't true. Now, did you ever really believe the Bible was true? No. You just kind of wanted it to be. You hoped it was in a kind of an open-ended way. But you see, when God gives a man faith, he gives him an expectation that these things are what he says they are. I expect that it's true. I expect that these things will come to pass. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, does that mean we don't ever have any doubts? See, the concept that fear and doubt are not compatible is not completely the way that it is in the life of God's people. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I've got faith and I can't doubt. Well, dear brother, if you're a human being, you can doubt. You're a born doubter. Everybody's born with doubts and fears and troubles. And all of the things that would turn us aside. But the peculiar people of God are given something that is the antithesis to doubt, even though it might coexist right along with it. And sometimes it might even seem that doubt gets the upper hand. But you see, faith is the substance. It's the foundation of the things that are hoped for. Now, the substance, you see, what is the substance of our faith? Is it that I believe strong enough? Now, that's pretty much the concept of faith that permeates the world today, is that something will be true if you just believe it. You know, after a football game, and they ask the coach, well, why did y'all win? Well, we just believed that we would. Well, does that mean that the other team didn't believe that they would win? I saw a game yesterday, and the end of it, and the team had the game won, and there was 10 seconds left, and all he had to do was punt the ball, or really even just get the ball and fall on it, and they'd have won the game. But now, do you think they believe they would win the game? I mean, they was already hooping and hollering. I mean, they already had it in the bag. But guess what? The guy fumbled the ball. The other team picked it up and ran the ball in with no time on the clock. And they lost. Now, did the other team win because they believed they would? No, they didn't think they was going to win that game. If you'd ask any one of them, they'd say, man, we had it. So that's not, it's not, faith is not about what you believe, but faith is the substance of the things that we expect. Now, what is the substance of faith? The substance of faith is not what you do, dear brethren. It's not what you believe. It's not what you think. It is the basis upon which you believe those things. And what is the basis? We just read about it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. That is the substance, the foundation of our faith. I mean, He's the one we're looking to. Now, when doubts arise, do we try to overcome our doubts? How are you going to do it? I mean, that's kind of like thinking up of a cure for cancer. I mean, when doubt invades your mind, can you just, I'm not going to doubt. I'm just going to believe. Can you make doubts go away like that? No, you can't. Oh, you might can in a fairy tale. But in reality, doubt is doubt and doubt is real. But I'll tell you, that which makes the doubts fly away is when God in sovereign mercy enables His people to see what the substance of their faith is. It's not in how much I believe it or how little I doubt it, but it is in what Jesus Christ has accomplished in our behalf. That is the thing that we fall on to. Lord, I'm doubting, I'm fearing. I don't think I'm going to make it through another day. I think I'm going to quit believing before the day is out. I just don't have any faith left. Oh, yes, you do. Because your faith's not in yourself, it's in Christ. Is hidden in Christ. He's the substance of our faith. He's the very basis. He's that upon which we stand. Not of what we can come up with. Now, it's nice if we can give evidence of faith, is it not? As we read about Abraham. I mean, what's the Scripture record? The Scripture records the evidence of faith in Abraham. You reckon Abraham had any doubts and fears? And I know, you know, when we think about Abraham, we're made to think that, but he just, when the Lord told him to go and sacrifice his son, Isaac, oh, buddy, he just from the get-go, he was ready to do it, and never doubt ever entered his mind. Every step he took, he said, you know, I'm a fool. Every step he took, he said, you know, this can't be right. Why would God do this? Why would God say that? This can't be right. Now, what caused Abraham to keep going? It was faith. But where did that faith come from? From God. Because otherwise, left to himself, I guarantee you, Abraham never would have went up that mountain. He never would have. Now, by the grace of God, He's given us to see what that faith was. And we see Abraham as a man of faith. Not because Abraham didn't have any doubts or fears, but because the substance of his faith was true. And you see, God said, I will provide. See, that was Abraham's expectation when he told Isaac, when Isaac asked, well, where's the the sacrifice. I mean, we got the fire and we got all that, but we don't have any rams or lambs or anything to offer on here. And Abraham said, I tell you, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now, dear brethren, by the grace of God, Abraham was given to see what the substance of his faith was. He believed God. You see, some people, they read that passage in Romans where it says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And they look at it like, well, Abraham met the criteria. God looked at Abraham and he said, yep, Abraham, you've got faith, so therefore I'm going to justify you. No, Abraham believed God. By the grace of God, Abraham believed God. And that was counted to him for righteousness. What? The substance. Not the activity. The substance. What was it that he believed in? Abraham might have believed in UFOs. I don't know. But you see, that wasn't the faith that he had. That wasn't the substance that he had. The substance was the Lord himself. He believed that God would provide whatever that was. Did he know what it was? Of course he didn't. But it was the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. Now, what is the evidence? The evidence is the proof. Now, somebody says, well, prove to me that the Bible's the Word of God. And how can you do it? Answer is, you can't. But does anybody have to prove to the man whom God has given an expectation and an understanding that this book is the Word of God? Do I need to come and tell you that it is? Why? Because God gave you that. And you can't shake it. You can't just throw it out the window and say, well, I don't need that. I'll tell you this, if you're one of God's children, you'll be back seeking the Word of God the very next day after you throw it out the window. Why? Because it's the foundation, dear brethren. It's the substance. It's the expectation. It's the proof. God proves His Word unto men. He proves Himself to men. He doesn't prove Himself to the world. The world in general, they think you're a fool. Oh, now they don't think you're a fool for being religious. They think you're a fool for being a fanatic. They think you're a fool for just thinking that Christ is all. They think you're a fool for believing that religion doesn't make any difference. Or nothing else you do can in any wise cause you to earn any favor with God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, dear brethren, we live in a world which we can see. And everything that we as natural human beings have confidence in, we can see. Science is the study of the things that men can see. It is that which men rely on. It forms, in fact, the substance of the faith of many. Because many people have more confidence in what science says than in what God says. And when that's true, then what is the substance of their faith? See, all men are men of faith because you can't prove one thing. I mean, they tell us the sun is so many million miles away. Now, do you know of anybody that's taken a tape measure and measured it? Now, I know that they can calculate things and all of that good stuff, but in reality, what do you what do you really know? I mean, in that say that you can taste and feel. I mean, they tell us that George Washington lived. He was the first president. Do you know that? Can you prove that? Oh, I know you can go find the documents that says that he was. But how do you know somebody didn't just make all that up? How do you know it? They say we went to the moon. I don't doubt that we went to the moon. But can you prove that they went to the moon? I mean, there's a lot of people claim they can prove that they didn't go to the moon. So what do you really know? See, we talk about all these things that we know. But dear brethren, you see, the evidence is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, Paul says in the book of Romans, he said, if a man has that which he hopes for, then why would he hope for it? See, if you've got something in your possession, you're not hoping for it, are you? You're not expecting it. If you're expecting your children to come and visit you, once they get there, are you expecting them anymore? No, you're not expecting them. You're not hoping in their arrival, are you? Why? Because they're there. Now, dear brethren, the things that God has taught us and shown us must, of necessity, be received by faith. Now, the just shall live by his faith. That's what the Scripture says. That's exactly how it says it. The just shall live by his faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the conviction. It's the persuasion that the foundation, the substance, it's the substance of the things that we expect. Now, faith is a foolish thing to the natural man, but yet he operates in a sort of faith every day, because all men have faith in something, don't they? I mean, the atheist has faith. He has faith that what he believes is true, doesn't he? He believes, he says in his heart, there is no God for me. And David didn't argue with him. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God for me. That is his faith, however, because he can't prove to you there's not a God, any more than you can prove to him that there is. Any more than you can prove that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for sinners. You can't prove it to the satisfaction of the natural man. But oh, you see, that's not what he's talking about here, is it? Because he said, we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Because God, who's rich in mercy, has given us the gift of faith. Not just faith in general. I don't have a lot of faith. I'm a skeptical person. You know, I used to get whippings all the time because somebody, my mother usually, or teacher or something, would be telling me, you know, something was this way, and I'd be saying, well, why? I don't know that, you know, I'm a skeptic. But, by the grace of God, I'm not skeptical about what Jesus Christ has set forth in this book. Now, as men think of it, is it possible that I could be wrong as far as the world's concerned? Well, sure it is. But you see, it's here that I've staked my claim. It's here that I've fled for refuge. It's here and nowhere else do I wish to stand but upon that which Scripture indicates that Jesus Christ said, did, accomplished, and shall do. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Because, dear brethren, we don't have them in our hand. You know, a grave awaits every one of us apart from the Lord coming back. And I don't know what's in that grave. I don't know what's on the other side of the grave insofar as my human understanding is concerned. But you see, the substance, I believe this, and I can't shake it, that the substance of the things that I hope for, the evidence, the proof, the expectation is found in Christ. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Don't want to go any further. As far as I want to go. I'd ask old B.B. Caldwell. They told him he could have this greater spiritual experience if he'd just do this and do that, do the other. He said, listen, is what I believe going to get me to Christ? He said, that's far as I want to go. I don't want to go any further than that, dear brother. He's the substance of things hoped for. He's the proof of those things that are not seen. And I've never seen Him. Some people say they have. I've read accounts. People say He comes out on the edge of their bed and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if He did or He didn't. He never came and sat on my bed. But He did. He did. Somehow or other. Caused me to desire to worship Him and no other. And He is the substance of the things I hope for. And the evidence of the things I cannot see. And I can say to you today that if it turned out that all of that was just a figment of my imagination, I still wouldn't want to go anywhere else but there. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Because you see, Job had that which was the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he wouldn't change one thing. If the Lord... Think about that for a minute. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Though He says, I'm casting you away, yet will I trust in Him. Because, brethren, that is what the gift of faith causes a man to do, is to trust Christ. The gift of faith doesn't necessarily give him a deep theological understanding of all the different things that will happen and he can explain this, that, and the other. No. It's just that which is evidenced in the old Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip preached to him Christ, and he came to that body of water, and he said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, why did he do that? What happened to him? The grace of God. But he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because, you see, he had seen the substance of the things that he hoped for. Did you reckon he ever had any doubts before he died? I bet he did. I bet you there were times when he said, you know, I wonder if I was coming back from Jerusalem, and I don't know if any of that stuff was real or if I was just in an emotional state or what the deal was. I don't know. But then the next day he'd wake up, and his mind and his thought would be Christ. I believe that Christ is the Son of God. Oh, that the Lord might give us faith, that we might see it not as what we do, but as who He is. Because that's the basis upon which what we say we believe rests. And if it doesn't, dear brethren, we're resting in the wrong thing. May the Lord help us.